I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right,
you go right. Oh, there it is. Touché. It's our weekly political segment here on The Download. Touché with Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. We talk about all things. I think we do more than politics. I mean, we talk about life.
Yeah, here. Life. It's all about life.
It's all about life.
Culture.
Culture.
It's an inside
good to see
joke.
You guys. Good to see you guys. Yeah.
It's an
How was the week? I mean, we were together on the Iowa caucuses last Monday night. Seems like it was 3 months ago.
Everybody who heard it told me that you two sounded great.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny. That's what they told me, is that we sounded great too. You, yeah.
Well, let's talk
to those Democrat friends.
Those Democrat friends. But, you know, we had it. That was an amazing night, and there were so many upsets and a lot of, a lot of forecasting that went awry in terms of. But since that night, let's just keep moving forward. Moving into New Hampshire, is everything pretty much status quo?
Well, it was status quo right up until Marco Rubio ran into the hibachi machine known as Chris Christie. I have not seen somebody slice and dice that fast since they last went to Benihana.
Right. Yeah. This was Saturday night at the a lot of the headlines were the, I don't know what was happening with the introductions when Ben Carson didn't come out at the right time.
Yeah, John Travolta was there for a second. Did you see that video? That was great.
So there just seemed to be a lot about that. But it really, the content in that debate on Saturday is that the bottom of the pack came after, especially Chris Christie, came after Marco Rubio.
Well, here's the thing. You're Marco Rubio. You got the big mo coming out of Iowa. Everybody and their brother and sister knew they're coming after you. He was not ready for what he got with Chris Christie. Mm. I mean, seriously, if you saw it when it was happening in real time, and then he's accused of repeating things, and his defense is to repeat them again.
I want to say this was so predictable. It was so predictable that one of those guys just behind him, like Bush or Kasich or Christie, would be attacking him because they can't get to Cruz, let alone Trump, until they get past
Rubio.
Him.
But that's what Dave's saying. Rubio should know that.
He should have been totally prepared. And instead, there was I thought that it wasn't deer in the headlights because he was rehearsed, but the whole rehearsed thing was kind of
creepy. It came across as rehearsed.
It came across as, are we hearing that again? Is it, did he just say that again?
Now, it's hard to tell because it's been only 2 days, but do you think that has any impact on Marco Rubio in New Hampshire?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, minimally, it stopped his momentum in its tracks. But here's the really interesting part about it. Chris Christie was not going to be the beneficiary of that assault. Usually the guy doing the assault is not the beneficiary, especially when you have a multi-candidate field. So the question was, why did he do it? And I was at a lunch today with David Axelrod, and Axelrod reminded everybody that right at the start of this campaign, Marco Rubio's super PAC went after Chris Christie with a vengeance. Mm. And so the thought was, this wasn't a favor to the Democrats. This was just payback.
Yeah, this was
No. I think payback, nobody has time for payback. Nobody has got the resources for that. Christie is trying to break out. And these guys put their chips. Christie, Bush, and Kasich all put chips on New Hampshire. And the truth is, the latest polls that I've seen, you've got these guys clumped. There are two stages. You've got to go.
No. Okay. Sorry.
There are two stages. You've got this one. You've got Trump way out ahead.
Right.
Then you've got the one stage, which is
Cruz, Kasich,
Rubio, and Kasich, and then Bush, and then down below that you've got Fiorina and Christie,
right?
And Carson. Carson has just collapsed.
Yeah, he's got to get out.
Yeah.
Let me, it seems to me. I mean, as we move to the actual New Hampshire primary, this seems once again. I mean, what I'm most interested in seeing is how Donald Trump responds or rebounds from Iowa, and it looks like this is his primary.
Yeah, he had a moment he had a rare moment of humility on Monday night, and we all listened, and it was short, and he was humble, and we all sat around these microphones looking at each other going like, wow, who was that? Fortunately, the next morning, the Donald was back, accusing Cruz of stealing the election, of fraud, but what was so fascinating about that debate is that people still aren't attacking Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, Donald Trump's the front runner.
Well, Donald Trump took to a rally today in Manchester. We just have, and people are coming together. Andrea Darlis and WGN Radio is there. Before we get to Andrea, let's hear a little bit of what Trump had to say.
Crunch time. We've got a movement going that's been incredible. Everybody's talking about cover of Time magazine last week. They have a picture of me from behind. I was extremely careful with my hair. They have a massive crowd out in front, and they talk about a movement, and that's what it is. It's a movement, folks. It's a movement.
That sounds very Barack Obama, doesn't it?
And Andrea
or Bernie
was there.
Sanders.
Andrea was there. Let's bring her in. Yeah. Andrea Darlis, WGN Radio. Hi, Andrea. How are you? How's New Hampshire?
Hey, guys. Oh, it's snowy. My goodness. It's like a mini blizzard here. I said earlier, I think management says, hey, you know what? Wherever it's going to snow, let's send Andrea.
I think that shows they love you.
I think so, too. I'm telling you, it's tongue-in-cheek. It is snowing like crazy here. There's probably 4 or 5 inches at least on the ground. And I will never again curse the city of Chicago as far as plowing and salting because, wow.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's going on for hours and my car was sliding all over the road.
Oh,
before.
Great. Well, that's good. But, that's good. That's good intel.
Yeah, well, but you know. Here's the thing. Even with all of this snow, I'm not kidding you. There were thousands. I would put the crowd at between 4,000 and 5,000 packing into the Verizon Wireless Arena tonight here right in downtown Manchester. And just waiting to see Trump, and he was delayed because of the weather. He had Ivanka with him and Melania. And I'm telling you guys were talking about that kinder, nicer, gentler Trump. He's not the Trump that showed up tonight. He was. He had both barrels loaded, talked about Second Amendment rights, saying no one's going to take that away. He said we're going to repeal Obamacare.
Which candidates was he shooting everything. At?
Oh, my God. Cruz, of course. He said he won Iowa. He ripped on Marco Rubio, you know, for his gaffe during the debate where he kept repeating everything. But then Trump kept repeating, you know, probably as many times that he won Iowa. And then he said, I'm focused on New Hampshire. And he's got a huge lead here. And people went crazy for him. I mean, I was at a Rubio rally last night, and there was a lot of people. There were hundreds of people at the Rubio rally. But the Trump folks were going crazy. And I interviewed men, women, students, all ages. I would say I talked to people. I talked to people from the Netherlands.
Andrea, who's getting the vote of the Uber drivers? I want to know. All right, next question. McCain got a lot of Republican votes, but then he got a huge number of votes from the non-affiliated, the sort of the kind of called independents out there who are not registered in the one party or in the other party. When you see this big crowd for Trump, are they Republicans? Are they the unaffiliateds and the Republicans? Who are they?
That's a great question. That's the first thing I was asking people. Have you made up your mind or do you know who you're going to vote for? And I would say 50% of the people I talked to at the Trump rally were way, way, way behind Trump and going crazy for him. The other 50 were undecided but leaning toward Trump. And then their second choice was Rubio. I heard no Cruises. I heard no Christie, no Kasich. One Fiorina, but she was about 5 years old.
And were they giving...
Wait, the five-year-old liked Fiorina?
Yeah, the five-year-old girl. I said, how come you like her? And she said, because she's a girl. I said, okay.
She must have been listening to Madeleine Albright.
right?
So is Jeb Bush getting a one-way ticket to Miami, or where is he headed?
I was all over Manchester today. I went to a couple coffee houses. I went to a few restaurants. I saw Bernie supporters like crazy. I saw, obviously, Trump supporters, Rubio. I was hard-pressed to find anybody praising Jeb Bush. And I was also at an event for Chris Christie this morning, too. And he had a couple dozen supporters or so. But briskly kind of walked through, signed a few autographs, posed for some selfies, and then took off. I couldn't find any Jeb Bush supporters. But it's interesting that you bring up the undecided two guys, because I heard ABC News was saying 4 out of 10 New Hampshire voters are still undecided. And then I heard another poll tonight saying 5 out of 10. So half of the voters. But I commend them for going to the different rallies and listening to the candidates and then making their decision.
But what's even more interesting about those undecideds, they're not just undecided within a primary. The 4 out of 10, because I saw that poll too, the 4 out of 10 were undecided which primary they were going to vote in. So
yeah,
there's so much uncertainty going into this. And this is why New Hampshire is always so interesting, because they decide late and a huge number. And because it's a state where you don't have to declare, you can go either way. And so you wind up with all this crossover voting. And a lot of people just really don't know what they want to do.
A teeny tiny point. If you're a registered Democrat, you can't vote Republican. If you're a registered Republican, you can't vote. It's the folks in the middle.
But 50% of Iowa's of New Hampshire is undeclared.
Is in that undeclared
state. Andrea, let me ask you, you know, what's lined up for tomorrow? I mean, for you, are you going to stay in Manchester? Are you going to continue this reporting? Or does the snow hamper the effects? And what do you think about, what are you hearing about turnout?
Well, two different answers to that. First of all, I'm going to be doing the morning show with Cochran tomorrow, so I'll be with him. I'm going to try and hit a few polling places as well, too, because the three early polls open at midnight. Those are the smaller precincts. Those open at midnight. So I'll probably be at some of the polling places, and then I'm going to stay through the primary tomorrow and get the results, and then I'm back on Wednesday. So I'll be all around the downtown area hitting a lot of the polling places tomorrow. But as far as turnout, the Secretary of State said today they're expecting record turnout for this election, despite all the snow, which is supposed to taper tomorrow. But they're expecting record turnout, more so on the Republican side than the Democratic side. But they are predicting record turnout.
There you go. Andrea Darlis in New Hampshire and Manchester. She'll be reporting for WGN Radio all tomorrow during the primary and the results and on Wednesday. Andrea, stay safe in the snow, and good luck with the next couple days.
All right. Thanks, you guys. We'll probably check in with you tomorrow as well, Justin.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché,
Chris. It's Monday nights here on The Download. That means it's time for Touché. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. Dave Lundy, a Democrat analyst. Chris Roebling, a Republican analyst. Talking about the primaries in New Hampshire, which are going to happen tomorrow, snow or no snow. We talked a lot about the Republican side. The Democrat side, this is in hand for Bernie Sanders?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I look.
But it doesn't mean much because he's from Vermont. New Hampshire's next door, and it's a little bit more progressive. Everyone's going for Bernie Sanders in the country, or is it just New Hampshire?
Well, no. I mean, there's a neighboring state effect. There's a big college towns effect. There's a lily white effect. You know, Bernie Sanders is offering to give everybody free candy. That's great. But you'd never know who I support. But here's what will be interesting. Because if Bernie comes out of the election tomorrow with like between 10 and 18, you know, it's a loss for Hillary, but it's nobody's going to be, you know, going freaking out. If she loses by more than 20.
You think she's going to lose more by 20?
No, I don't. I actually think she's going to lose by about. I said this last week was 12.
I think she's going to lose by 12. I can't think of an election.
Yeah, but the polls showed her down 32.
This is the media that is doing everything possible, justified, not ethical, not to get Hillary elected.
I mean, oh yeah, that's absolutely the case.
This is a woman who is under FBI investigation.
Here, yeah.
Who has quite apparently.
How many words did it take you to get to the word FBI, Chris? That
broken
was the word of the night.
The Espionage Act. Who is in? You know, stole Iowa because the chairman of the Democratic Party of Iowa is basically a contributor to Hillary and rigged it for Hillary.
Oh, please.
So she barely got out of Iowa. She had to win her chances of getting out of Iowa the way that she did it was 1 in 64 with all of the coin tosses. But even more, there were other things that were allocated.
You're full on the conspiracy theory wagon.
No, I'm telling you that she is a flawed candidate and that she will not be the nominee of the party. She will not be elected president. And we're looking at like Elizabeth Warren versus Donald Trump.
Look,
Joe Biden versus Donald Trump.
This is a conspiracy of the FBI, well, of Lyndon Johnson, of the Cubans,
Johnson
of Sam Giancana. I'm like, oh my God, Chris. Well,
let's say Chris is about to lose.
I will tell you, she's going to lose by more than 15. And any other candidate, similarly, such a supposed front runner, after barely making it out of Iowa and losing by 15 in New Hampshire, they would be facing tough music.
But except that she's going to places like Nevada and South Carolina, where they're not all white. Because those places are getting energized by the minute. Well, we'll find out.
What we're talking about, what you mean, is the African-American vote is squarely behind Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has played well with the African-American vote.
For decades, that seems to be a big block of the Democratic Party.
So Bernie Sanders, but she was running against an African American candidate.
Right.
The point being that Bernie Sanders is not black.
Right. I'm just saying.
But the point is that Bernie Sanders hasn't done well with courting that vote.
Not historically, no. Not so much. So look, I think every time you and we do Touche and you want to talk about Hillary Clinton, that's going to be we could probably record this.
You will get
and
the
just
FBI
like you push
thing.
The button and get the FBI thing every time. But what matters is what happens tomorrow and then what happens when she moves forward. The reason she's presumed to be the front runner, aside from the fact she's got, 386 superdelegates.
Well, she's the establishment candidate.
And she is the candidate.
And she's owned by Wall Street. Did you see the thing
owned
on Facebook?
By Wall Street.
Did you see that great thing on
a
Facebook?
A Republican is attacking
because she's owned by Wall Street.
Because
she's a hypocrite. She has this thing about on Facebook where they're showing all the friends and they show like Goldman Sachs gave her $647,000 and then JP Morgan gave her $921,000 and all this stuff. I mean, she is an absolute fraud.
And she's
Clinton was a fraud. Can I quote just by the way,
all
Jerry
right.
Brown?
Well, you're obviously showing your Republican side
for
here.
Decades.
You don't like the Clintons. You
decades,
don't like the Clintons.
Chris has been working
Let's
this up.
Let's work in an alternate reality where Hillary Clinton doesn't go to jail and that she's not a fraud
and that
she becomes a legitimate candidate for president of the United States.
That's
Dave
a nightmare
Lundy.
Reality.
Yes, thank you. You're right. It is your nightmare reality because
nightmare.
None of your candidates are going to be able to stand on the stage.
My
and your great beige hope just got sliced and diced on the stage the other night. By the way, I have a prediction here. Mm-hmm. Sorry, am I getting ahead
no,
of myself?
No, no, no,
okay.
no.
Because we actually, I want to talk Republican. No, no, we will. But
predictions and then
predictions. So my prediction for the Republican primary is that finishing in second place will be John Kasich. In third will be Ted Cruz. Followed by Marco Rubio, followed by Jeb Bush.
Okay.
Obviously,
okay,
Trump
so we got
first.
That. Okay,
wait,
so that's
you
a
got
top
what
five.
Now? Trump,
Kasich two,
Trump,
Kasich, Cruz three,
right?
Christie four, you said?
Yeah, Kasich. There's, I mean,
no,
you
no.
know, we all know State Rep. Ron Sandeck. No. He was out there shaking hands over the weekend, and he says there's a big boomlet for Kasich. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
Rubio will be fourth.
Rubio will be fourth. Yeah. And what do you say?
I say Rubio third. I think Cruz and Rubio are literally neck and neck. But I want to do my little...
Quick. Democrat side.
I think Hillary loses by 12.
I say more than 15.
All right. So what we want to do, what you were talking about, the Collins thing tonight.
Well...
Today is
it's a horrible
it's a
day.
Horrible day, an anniversary. This
horrible
is the day that
day.
Bob Collins died in the plane crash, and you wanted to talk about that.
Well, I was the afternoon anchor at WMAQ Radio with your friend, with all of our friends, John Dempsey.
John Dempsey, of course.
And it was a terrible day for Mrs. Collins, the worst conceivable. And it was tough for us at MAQ, and I'll tell you why in a second, but it was excruciating for everybody here at this radio station. I really respect and honor everything this station went through that day, because Collins was a huge figure in broadcasting and a huge figure at WGN.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Collins was a real leader and a pacer. I mean, he was a little bit scratchy guy to get to know, but he was so great at what he did. And this was his thing was to work in the morning, then he'd go out on a nice day, hop in the plane, fly up to Wisconsin, eat lunch, come back. On this particular day, freak accident, a collision. He went into a hospital in Waukegan. Here's the part that was tough. A lady in that hospital was a listener to MAQ Radio. And when the plane went down into the hospital, she was right there. And she saw Collins. And she saw him. She knew it was Collins. She'd seen him all her life. And she called our newsroom. And we had to call the GN newsroom and say, it's Collins. We couldn't go on the air with it for two reasons. No one could find Mrs. Collins, number one. And number two, no radio station in Chicago was going to announce that before GN.
Wow.
So we were Dempsey and I were sitting there in the studio on the air, vamping, literally for a couple of hours, because they had to find Mrs. Collins, who I believe, and I say this with utmost regard, was out, you know, shopping. I mean, she had no idea what was going on.
Right, right. Wow,
tough,
that's interesting.
Very, very tough day. And then MAQ
shows the respect of WGN as well, because, you know, you guys obviously having to do that.
It's, did it the right way.
Yeah, right.
We held off.
Well, maybe right a different day than if that happened in 2016.
I was just going to say that was the right thing to do now if it happened to be on social media and nobody holds anything.
And I'll say I attribute that to Mike Krauser and to Rod Zimmerman, the guys who were running MAQ at the time. Lorna Gladstone, those three were, I think they made the call. Certainly not Dempsey and me.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, touche!
Touche!
We'll be back next Monday. We'll talk about what happened in New Hampshire. We'll also look ahead to, or I'll also be after South Carolina, which will be on Saturday.
No, that,
that's the next
that Nevada.
Saturday. Nevada, right. So that'll be coming up. Thanks, you guys. Good to see you.
Great to see you, Justin.